Our theme for the year is believe. I think many of us know by now, pisteho is to be convinced of something or someone. And here's the thing, if you believe what it is that we're going to read today, if you believe it, it will not only change your life, it will change your destiny. That's it. And every promise, every statement that the Bible makes, if you actually believe it, if you're convinced of it, it can change your destiny. And so that's why it's so important for us to do it. And so in unpacking the scripture, we are trying to achieve two things. One is we're trying to see what it is that the Bible is saying, calling us to believe. But then secondly, I hope that it will help us to continue to learn how to read our Bibles. In other words, how do I read the Bible so that I can get something out of it? If you're not getting anything out of the Bible, or if the Bible seems boring to you or old to you, it means that you're doing something wrong. And that the problem does not lie with the Bible, but that the problem actually lies with you. Not even me. Because even if I do a bad job on Sunday, it's still your responsibility to dig into the Bible. So those are the two things that we hope to achieve. Now, our scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, let's read it together. It says, he's, together meaning just me read, you follow. He's divine power, referring to God or Jesus, we're not quite sure, but both are great. He's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. This passage has, why are we battling to get through it? Why is it taking us so long? Because it has an incredible high learning density, if you may. There is just so much in it. If you read this scripture, and you go and do it at home, unpack it, there's literally, we can teach a sermon on each of these phrases. He's divine power. What is that? That's a sermon. We spoke about that last week. Has given. I've not even touched on that. It's a gift. Okay? His divine power has given us. It's not something we work for. It's a gift that he gives us. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness, a sermon in itself, through our knowledge of him. Who called us? Another sermon. By his own glory and goodness. Another sermon. So last week we looked at his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Today we're going to take a look at through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now I'm going to do a little bit of an experiment here. I'll include the teens. You guys are lucky today. The prize is a bar one. This is, I figured out this is how they work. So if you swing this, then it's like, oh yeah. Okay, I'm going to put up an image of something that you've never seen in your life. The first one to say what it is gets the ball one. Three. You don't even have to put up your hand. You can just shout. Three, two, one. Believe. Okay. Three, two, one. Whoever catches it, there we go. I don't know if you've seen this before. This is an actual phone. This is what your parents grew up with. Who of you guys have ever seen anything like that? Okay, one or two. Now, I'm talking about the teens. I know the adults are supposed to have seen it at some point in their life. Okay, now for a more tricky one. Again, bar one. I should call it bar two. Bar two. Three, two, one. Who said cell phone? Someone said cell phone. That is a cell phone. Okay? That was a cell phone back in the day. If you ever watched a James Bond movie, James Bond would run with his briefcase or he would have it in his car to make a call at any moment's notice. Who of us have seen this phone before? No James Bond watchers? Go and watch James Bond, people. It's right in there, a phone and a briefcase. Who of us in here owns a cell phone? Pretty much everybody, my guess would be. If the phone rings, what is the first thing that you do? Check who it is, okay? That is what we couldn't do many years ago. When the telecom phone rang, you just looked and you thought, should I, should not? Should I, should not? Should I, should not? Today, that's cleared up by that nice little screen that wasn't always there for the youngsters, okay? Now, that what is dependent, depending on what it says on that screen, then stimulates a certain emotion or emoji in you. If this is on the screen, what emotion? What thought? Who is it? Okay, emotion is, should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I? 9 out of 10 times, it's most likely going to be a telemarketer. And those guys have no mercy. I answer those calls when I realize it's a telemarketer, and my nicest voice possible, I say, listen, I have no interest in buying anything, signing up for anything, getting involved in anything of any sorts in any way. And then they will say, and sir, why is that? I won't go further. What emotion? Happy. Best friend, there's an emotion. Oh, man, yes, absolutely, pick it up. To the teens, that special someone. What emotion? Guy is showing a heartbeat. But it's beating through your eyes. Okay, you are busy doing something, involved with something that is maybe wrong or on the borderline of being wrong. The phone rings. You pick up with, Mom, Dad, how wonderful to hear from you. Okay, the next dreaded call. When the phone rings and this is what you see, what emotion. You quickly reflect through the last 24 hours to maybe up to a week before you pick up that phone, and you think, have I been on good behavior? And is the Lord unto me? Peter is saying in our scripture, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us. You have been called. And the Bible says that it's the Lord God who is calling. The Bible uses those two words. Either says God or the Lord God. The Lord is actually God's name. His name, like my name is Werner, His name is Yahweh, the Lord. Okay. Many of us know, and I think we don't realize this, in the call, when we get the call, is that back then in the ancient times, in the Bible, early Bible times, the name of Yahweh was so holy that there was only one person who could say it, the high priest. And he could only do it once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was it. Otherwise, they did not use the name Yahweh. So what did they do in church if they had to read the Bible or if they had to pray and God's name appears in the text, Yahweh, the Lord appears in the text, or they had to say, yes, Lord? They would use another name called Adonai. But only in reading and only in prayer. So when you wanted to refer to God, you would then say Adonai in prayer, or when you read it, whenever the name Yahweh was there, you just said Adonai. So what then if you wanted to say His name outside of the Bible, reading it out loud, and prayer? The Hebrews had another name, Hashem. Hashem simply meant the name. And so whenever you wanted to talk about God, you would say, Hashem. Hashem, the name is calling us to. And so Hashem, the name, Peter says, is calling. The Lord God, God is Elohim, it's his being. That word, Elohim, refers to the fullness of his might. His absolute, unqualified, and unlimited energy. He is God, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of our universe. And Peter is saying, he is calling you. He's calling you. Everyone, whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, there is still a call. So what is the message? Let's start from the beginning again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. The word by there can be misread if you don't understand it. The word by there can be either we are called by his glory and goodness, or we are called to his glory and goodness. What does that mean? God's glory and goodness is in heaven, and his glory and his goodness is calling you to it. So you're called by it. It is there, and it is calling you to it. His glory and goodness is saying, come over here. Be with me. What does that even mean, his glory and goodness? It's his majestic nature, his splendor, his radiance, his brightness, his renown, his greatness is calling. That is what is at the end of the staircase. His glory calling you. Be glorious with me. Be good with me. Be godly with me. Be with me in my presence. That's where we're heading. That's the goal. That's at the end of the staircase. What is at the end of your staircase? And I'm not even talking about as career at the end of the staircase or as a boyfriend at the end of the staircase. Sometimes we can act like church is at the end of the staircase. Or we can act like, well, what I need to do is I need to read the Bible. That's at the end of the staircase. I need to join a Bible discussion group of some sorts. That's at the end of the staircase. I think for some of the teens, even you think baptism is at the end of the staircase. Baptism is not at the end of the staircase. Baptism is just a step. It's a step towards the door at the end, and the door at the end is to be in his presence. The Bible says, now we see but a glimmer, but then we will see face to face. And so he's calling us to that, calling us to his presence, but I cannot just be in the presence of God the day that I die. I cannot just suddenly be in his glory and goodness and fellowship with him in his glory and goodness the day that I die. No, it needs to start right here, right now. Therefore, God says in Leviticus, be holy because I am holy. Be set apart, be pure. When? Now. Why? Because I'm holy, I'm set apart, I'm in heaven, and I am waiting for you to be with me in my holiness and in my majesty. Jesus said something very similar when he said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It starts here and now. He's calling. How does he call? The book of Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity into your heart. Kai's heart throb, the little emoji heart. God has placed eternity into your heart. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that Adam and Eve was created in the image of God. God put a little bit of himself, not his form, but his being, inside of you with a purpose that it will grow. With the purpose that as we go down life, that little bit of inside of you and me will become bigger and bigger, and that we will be His image, His reflection. That as people look at us, that they would see God reflected in us. That they would see His goodness in us. That they would see His grace, His kindness, His love, His hatred for sin. Not the sinner, but the sin in itself. That they would look at us and that they would grow and will be reflected. That's the call. Now you may ask, well, I just don't feel it. You know, I don't, my heart is just, it's beating for other stuff. But I don't feel it. When I read the Bible, it seems to almost stop. It dies. I do what I need to do. Every now and then, what is the good thing to do? Good thing to do is open the good book. Look into the good book and be a good person. But if it remains dead, what do I do? Or what if maybe you're in the situation where you say, listen, for me it actually comes and goes. There are moments where I feel it beating and then it dies and beats and it dies and it beats and it dies. Sometimes on a Sunday it beats, but by the time I get to my car, it dies. Or maybe I even get through the whole Sunday, but tomorrow morning at work, when my boss says hello, it's just, pfft. It's dead. Or it's a memory. I can remember once, years ago, when I read the scriptures, how it burned in my heart, how I could hear God speak, not verbally, but how I could sense Him speaking to me. Where did it go? An old Indian was teaching his grandson about life when he said to the grandson, he said, a fight is going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He has anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight, young boy, is going on inside of you. And inside of everyone else, too. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old man replied, the one you feed. That's who wins. The one you feed. God has placed eternity into your heart. He has put a little bit of Himself inside of you. You must feed it. If you starve it, it will die. If you feed it, it will live. Does God help us? Is He against us or for us? Acts 17 says, from one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He wanted people all over the earth. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they would live. 7 billion people currently on our planet and billions before us. And He says every single individual where you would live, the time in which you would live, was predesigned by God. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your family, God wanted you to be in that place, in that time, with that family, under those circumstances. Why? God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. God has placed and continues to place each of us in an exact position that would give us the best possible chance to reach out to him and to find him. I saw that in becoming a Christian, the way that I became a Christian, the way that I was reached out to, it was designed. But every spurt of growth spiritually in my life, as I look in the rearview mirror, I can see it was designed. Either a scripture that I read, or someone that said something, or a situation that happened. I spent time with a couple this week that I performed their wedding. They're not part of the church. I performed their wedding a couple of years ago. And they just had a baby, or the baby is now 15 months old. And they said, and that baby being born, something happened. Holding the baby in their hands made them realize life is more, there's more to life than what we are currently doing. It's by design. God is on your side, no matter where you are. You have to open your eyes and say, how is he trying to reach out to me? He wants to help me. We looked at it last week. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. His theos, supernatural power, the power through which he parted the Red Sea, the power through which he stopped the sun, the power through which he raised Jesus from the dead is laser focused on giving you everything that you need to reach this point. To move towards it. His glory and goodness. It is his total focus. He wants you to succeed. So why is it then that I sometimes don't feel it? It says his divine power has given us. So it's already available. It's there. But I'm not experiencing it. I'm not feeling the power. I'm actually feeling very little. I feel like I want to, but the batteries are flat. I can see where I need to go. I can see the direction that I need to take, but there's no oomph. Who of us have ever felt that? Oh, totally me. Could it be that the power is there, but it's not being activated? And if so, a good question would be, how do we activate that divine power into our lives? It gives us the answer through our knowledge of him. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Knowing him activates the power. Knowing him taps into that resource. Now, knowing is not intellectual knowledge. Well, I've read about him. You know, you can very easily do that. It's one thing, and I've said this before. It's one thing knowing about someone, and another thing knowing someone. I can read a lot about you. I can hear a lot about you. But when am I actually going to get to know you? We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. The only way that I'm really going to get to know you is two things need to happen. One is we need to get some FaceTime. And the more FaceTime we get, the better I am going to get to know you. The more time we spend, the more time I'm in your presence, the better I'm going to get to know you. How do I get to know God? I need to spend FaceTime. And the more FaceTime, the more connected. What I find with my family, whether it's my wife or my kids, the less time we spend, the more disconnected we become. I'm talking about FaceTime. I'm not talking living in the same house. We constantly do that, if you were concerned about that. But we're in the same house. But if we're not getting that FaceTime, if we're not getting that connection time, we don't connect. The emotional connection is not there. The knowledge is not there. We're not feeling one another. So FaceTime. Two is side by side. We need to do life together. Just going on dates with my wife every day, all day, would have some form of romance in it, I take it. And I'm not sure how long that lasts if you stay on the date for years at end and have no other responsibility. But what actually builds the relationship? There's a saying in Afrikaans. I'm now trying to figure out how on earth does one translate that. They talk about basically, there is no translation for it, but I'll translate it for you anyway. It's the day you have eaten 7 bags of salt together. Okay, translate that, figure that out for yourself. But what it means is this: we've been through a lot together. Why do some couples, the closer that they are, even start looking like each other? Have you noticed that? Look at James. He looks so much... Now, luckily, he is starting to look more than Maura. And Maura is not starting to look more like him. But when and how does that happen? Side by side. Doing it together. Which means what? How do I build knowledge with God or knowledge of God? How do we get closer? How do we get more connected so that His divine power can be activated in my life to help me move up the staircase towards His glory and goodness? I need to, one, include Him in my life. Every decision, everything, every behavior, I need to bring Him into my life. And yet, then there's another one. I think we all know that we should do that. Then there's another one which I don't think we always do or get right or even think of. I need to include myself in His life. There's a difference. Including Him in my life is, hey, I'm doing my life, and I want Him to join me, usually for some form of blessing, direction, help that would benefit me. Focus is actually me. I want to win. Including yourself in His being and life and purposes means, okay, God, what are you busy doing? What matters to you? What does your heart beat for? Where are your passions, desires? What are you hoping for in this day, in this week, this month, this year? What are you hoping for in this church? What are you hoping for in this Bible talk group, small group that I'm a part of? What are you hoping for? And how do you want me to join you in what it is that you are planning for us? As a family, as a couple, for us as a small group, for us as a church, I want to join you. And as you start joining, you start knowing. As God starts joining what it is that you're doing and you're inviting Him to join and you're having the FaceTime, you know. You have an ever-increasing knowledge of God, an experience with God. With an ever-increasing knowledge then comes ever-increasing power. And with ever-increasing power comes an ever-increasing godliness. So I have to know, face to face, side by side, and when I do, it gets activated. And it has a chain reaction of what it is able to, what God is able to do in me and through me, and it leads to godliness. But there is a call. Will you answer? A friend of mine a couple of years ago, he got one of those no caller ID calls, and he took the call. Now, let me reverse back and tell you where the call came from and what led him to that call. A week before, he was walking to the Gau train from work, and as he was walking to the Gau train, someone bumped into him. And he was a little bit startled, taken aback, and the guy bumped into him. The guy then said to him, "What on earth are you doing?" And he said, "Sorry, man, sorry." He says, "What?" And the guy walked up to him, bumped him again. He says, you want me to kill you?" I said, "Whoa, man." He said, "Sorry, dude, sorry, sorry." And the guy walked off. And he was all shaken. He started walking towards the train. And as he walked to the train, he felt his pockets. And he realized his phone was gone. And this guy actually just stole his phone. The guy bumped up to him, put on that whole scene to steal the phone. And he's not a very materialistic guy. It was an old phone, what have you. But he was due for an upgrade some time ago. So he decided, hey, let me upgrade. So the next morning, he goes to Vodacom or what have you. He upgrades his phone. And about 2-3 days later, the phone rings, the no caller ID. And do you pick up? Do you not pick up? Do you pick up? Do you not pick up? And I picked up and he said, "Oh, is this Mr. So-and-so?" I said, "Yes, this is Mr. So-and-so." I said, "Well, listen, you have won R1 million. Now, he told me this story, and what is the country that comes to mind when someone says that? Sorry? Nigeria, okay? Who of us have received a winning lottery from Nigeria on SMS at least? Okay, so sorry about that. But he inquires more, and he says, "I cannot believe it, this, that. And what ends up happening was when he upgraded his phone, without knowing it, he entered a competition with Vodacom, and he won R1 million. He said to me, "Dude, I'm not kidding. They paid the money into my account yesterday. R1 million. So the very next day, I walked to the Gau train. For months, I walked and I looked for big guys. He took the call. The call has been made. The resources has been given. The only thing that you and I need to decide is which wolf will you feed? My prayer is that we will feed the right wolf. God bless. Amen.